I sometimes wonder why the writer of Mark felt led to tell this first story. It's not a story we hear in the other Gospels. Why is it necessary for the writer of Mark to show us this moment in time when Jesus is rejected? A moment when, from what we can see, Jesus is a bit powerless. The people who hear him immediately reject him, saying, "Who is this and what does he think he's doing? He's just the son of a carpenter. Here are his brothers and sisters, and he thinks he's something special, someone important." The people who should know Jesus well enough to trust him. Surely they've heard of his healing. Word has traveled. Why would they doubt him? I'm pretty sure he wasn't one of those teenagers that caused a lot of problems. He probably was not a child that got into trouble a lot. I would think the writer would just skip right over that part of the story, like the other gospel writers did. Why point out this time in Jesus' ministry when it doesn't go well? Perhaps the second story helps us understand that a little bit. The sending out of the 12 to share the good news. Jesus gathers the 12 and he tells them that they're going to need to go out and meet people and talk to people. They need to head out not alone, take someone with you, two by two. He wants them to be together. He wants them to have someone to support them. And he gives them what they need. And then he tells them to leave everything else behind. Everything. Not even two tunics. No money, no bread, nothing. Just leave it all behind and go. Can you imagine? I want you to think for just a moment. We have a lot of stuff nowadays, don't we? Probably a lot more stuff than they had in those days. Jesus told them to leave the stuff behind. I'm wondering what Jesus would have told us to leave behind if you were here today. What do you think? Do you think that maybe Jesus would want us to leave, I don't know, maybe our cell phones behind? Exactly. Maybe just leave that turned off for a while. I don't know. I think I would first immediately say, "Jesus, I need that cell phone. How am I going to find my way? I mean, you know, the map app? I need that. How could I go without it? How could we go out and be messengers for God if we can't find our way? And what about the other things it does? My Bible's on there. How can you expect us to go without our gadgets?" I wonder if Jesus asked you to go, what would he ask you to leave behind? Would it be your cell phone? Or maybe your iPad? Or maybe the news, television, your car? What's the purpose of leaving things behind? I can give you a dozen reasons why having my phone is a good idea. I'm sure you can too. I've already mentioned the map, my calendar to keep me on schedule, my contacts so I can get in touch with people, especially if I'm off schedule. I have all of your numbers in my phone and I need to be able to get there. I need to be able to Google answers that I don't have when people ask me questions. I know, the disciples didn't have cell phones. But did they have things that distracted them just as much? It's definitely true that I can use my cell phone to help me, but more times than not, it also helps me miss a lot along the way. I find myself often riding in the car when Roy is driving, and while we may be passing some beautiful scenery or interesting things, my nose is usually stuck in the phone, either reading texts or looking at what my friends are doing or just looking at the map, trying to make sure Roy's going the right way. I miss a lot on the way. Yesterday, we were driving through the country, and Roy said, "What is that?" And I kind of looked that way for a moment. I missed it. And he said, "There was this strange looking animal." It was gone. I missed it. Now, in my defense, I was reading for my sermon. But my nose was in this. The other day, I was sitting at the river, and I was sitting under a big tree, and there had been a lot of rain, and Scott McCann came walking by, and he said, "If you go right over there, there is an amazing rainbow, and you can," he said, "I swear it's a triple rainbow, and it is beautiful." And I just sat there. And by the time I wrapped up what I was doing, and got up the energy to go look, the clouds had rolled in, and it was gone. I sometimes find myself in uncomfortable situations. You probably know what I mean. Sitting with a group and the conversation kind of lulls, so I look down at my phone. And I skim through, ignoring the awkward silence in the group. Or I'm alone at a table in a restaurant, and rather than connecting with someone around me, I pull out my phone and I read. So I don't have to feel strange being alone. Perhaps in this first story, Jesus was showing us that when we go out, going about doing the work of God, it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes. It was even uncomfortable for Jesus in his hometown. The very people who had known him from childhood didn't understand him and didn't accept him or what he had to say. Sometimes that's going to happen to us. Look at the people at All Saints Episcopal down the road right this very minute. Trying to just walk into their place of worship and find fellowship and communion and worship. But they're greeted when they drive up with people who want to ridicule them, who want to tell them that they're wrong, people who don't even know them, but they want them to change. The people at All Saints are shaking off the dust of their shoes, and they set up coffee machines and pastries and water, and they've welcomed them. And they've gone about doing what they're supposed to do. And they're worshiping this morning. Jesus was trying to reach people he knew. There's nothing harder than trying to minister to people that you know really well and you just don't get through because they don't want to hear you. You want nothing more than to share the good news, and they want to do nothing more than go about living life their own way, not giving up control and not changing. Shake off the dust, Jesus says. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Sounds pretty simple, but I'll be the first to tell you it's not. What's that story in Scripture when you have 100 sheep and one wanders off? You go after the one. We can have 99 that hear us and agree with us, but it's the one we can't reach that weighs on us. That's our nature. Jesus sent out the disciples in pairs, having them depend on each other for support and encouragement, and then having them depend on the hospitality of others. Perhaps carrying things with them made them need others less. I know before cell phones, I spent a lot of time stopping into gas stations and asking directions, talking to people, asking for help, making phone calls instead of texting, calling instead of emailing. Life seemed to be a whole lot more personal, didn't it? We wouldn't even dream of going into a town and staying with total strangers, would we? And I'm not suggesting that that's what we need to do. I am, however, wondering what I need to do to find myself more dependent on others. What do I need to do to find myself more connected to people? What do I need to do to find myself meeting more strangers, having more of an opportunity to share myself with others, and therefore sharing the good news with others? I challenge you over the next few weeks to really think about ways that you could leave some things behind. Maybe just for an hour, maybe for a day. Maybe that means doing what I've tried to do for a long time, and that's when I go into a hospital or into a home, I try to just leave my phone in the car. Let myself fully connect to people. Spend time asking God to direct you where you need to be, where you need to go, and the people you need to be connected with. May we, as children of God, as disciples of Christ, may we go into this world willing to share the good news that God is alive and working in this world today. And may we be willing to take the time to talk to people that might not accept us. And may we be willing to shake off the dust when people don't, and go on and keep going, willing to be Christ in our world, willing to share the good news. Amen and amen.